Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter number 21. And also, you might want to find Mark chapter 12. Luke chapter 21, that's where I'm going to read from, and then I will probably be reading some out of Mark chapter 12 as well. So, Luke chapter 21 and Mark chapter 12. I'll give you just a moment to turn there. What we're going to be reading about this morning is the widow's mite. The widow's mite. And that's what I want to try to preach on. Luke chapter 21 and verses 1 through 4. Luke chapter 21 and verses 1 through 4. The Bible said, "And he looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither two mites. And he said, Of a truth, I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. For all these have of their abundance cast in unto the offerings of God, but she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had." Let's pray. Father, we come this morning, and Lord, I want to thank you for letting us be here today. The many blessings that we've had, Lord, we thank you for the good singing by the choir earlier and the Sunday school lesson. And then, Lord, we ask that you'd just be with us this morning as we look into the Word of God. Lord, I pray that you'd open our eyes, Lord, to this very simple little message that you've laid upon my heart. God, what a great example. What a great lesson for us today. Lord, we pray for your help. God, we ask that you'd speak to our hearts. I pray you'd help me. Lord, I pray you'd forgive us where we failed you. Lord, we realize today that sin and the things of this world and even our own flesh, God, so many things fight against us just to be able to hear the Word of God. Lord, I pray you'd take those things away today. Lord, we pray, God, I plead your blood. And ask for your help, God, as only you can. We pray, Lord, today for preaching unction and help. Lord, if there's anybody here today that's lost, I pray you'd speak to their heart and show them their great need of salvation. Just use the message for your honor and your glory. We'll thank you for all that you do. We ask it in Jesus' name and amen. All right. Let's read verse number 3 one more time, and we'll get started this morning. Verse number 3. The Bible said, "And he said, Of a truth, I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all." We just read four little verses here, and over in four more verses in Mark chapter 12, verses 41 through 44. If we were to read over there, and we'll be referring to that in just a little bit, but just eight verses in the Bible give us all that there is concerning one of the most well-known stories in the Bible. And I'm pretty sure that most everybody here has heard about, at least heard about, the widow's mite. Last Wednesday night over at Mountaindale, you know, we went over there, had singing school, and I enjoyed that. I got to go two nights, had something the other nights, but we were over there, and Wednesday night when it was over, the thought came to my mind of getting out of what you put into. You know, that's how it is. You get out of something what you put into it. If you don't put very much into something, you're not going to get very much out of it. But if you want to get a lot out of something, well, you need to put a lot into something. And we're all familiar with that phrase. We've all used it before, and it's a true saying. Doesn't matter if you're talking about singing school, you know, the more you put into it, the more you're going to get out of it. If you're talking about vacation Bible school, the more you put into it, the more you're going to get out of it. If you're talking about high school, the more you put into it, the more you're going to get out of it. I wish I'd have put more into it. I'd have got more out of it. Sunday morning worship. Somebody goes to church, they say, "Oh, I didn't get much out of that." Well, you probably didn't put much into it. You'll get more out of what you put into. And I got to thinking about that and rolling that over in my mind. And I believe that's a truth. And I begin to think to myself, does the Bible teach that? Does the Bible teach that you get out of something what you put into it? And so I got to thinking about the widow's mite and reading about that and studying about that. And I have heard about the widow's mite all my life, but I've never preached on it. I don't know if I've ever really heard it preached on. And most of what I remember about it or know about it this morning, I know about it. I remember from Sunday school when I was little growing up. And so we read here in the Bible. And look over in Mark chapter number 12. We'll read a few verses over there just to refresh our minds if you're not familiar with it. Is that echoing or is that about right? It sounds like it's echoing to me, but if it's not hurting anybody, well, we'll not worry about it this morning. But over in Mark chapter 12, very familiar story in the Bible. It said, and Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. There came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples and saith unto them, verily I say unto you that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. How would you like it this morning if we came to church? And the temple's a lot different from church. The temple then was a huge, 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 gigantic building, and it had different areas that you could go into. And there was an outer area that people could come into, and it was called the women's court. And it was called the women's court because and it wasn't just for the women, but the women were not allowed to go any further into the temple than the women's court. So it was a big area. People would come in there, and there was what was called the treasury. And there were 13 boxes lined around the wall, and people would come in, and there was for the upkeep of the temple, there was for the poor. There was all these different offerings that could be made, but these treasuries were lined up around the walls. And people would come in, and instead of taking up an offering like we do, they would go around and they would put their money in the different boxes that they had to take up the offering. Now, how would you like it if when you were coming in to worship the Lord and you were coming and bringing your offering, that there was a group of men standing over there and they were watching what you were putting into the box? You know, when I take up the offering at church sometimes, I don't anymore, but I used to, I don't want to watch what people put in because I don't feel like that's none of my business. And wouldn't it make you feel odd if somebody, what are you putting in? But you know what? That's how Jesus and the disciples, that's what we were reading about there in the Bible. The Bible says they looked and they saw and they beheld what people were putting into the treasury, into the temple there, into the house of God. Wouldn't that sort of make you feel self-conscious about what you put into the offering? But not only were they standing around watching what everybody was putting in, the Bible says that they commented upon it. How would that make you feel? Jesus said, come here, let me tell you something. Let me tell you, and making a comment, and he said, you see all those rich men and what they're putting into the offering? He said, that widow put more in than all them rich men. Made a comment, and I remember sort of that being the lesson from Sunday school, that the Lord sees what we put in the offering. You know what? And he still does. Whether we watch or pay attention, I don't pay attention. I don't want to know what anybody gives. I don't know what anybody gives, but I'll tell you something this morning. The Lord knows what we give. The Lord sees just like he saw then. He sees what we give.
He knew what was in everybody's bank account when they put their offering in. He knew that. That's how come he could say that that certain poor widow gave more than everybody else, because he knew what it cost her to put her two mites into the offering there. But I want to point out some things today about the widow's mite. And the first thing I want to point out today, and I'm going to give you three things and then three other things in closing, but just a few things about the widow's mite. First of all, I want to point out there is the misconception of the lesson. It's like a lot of things. When I studied it out, what the Word of God was, I found out that it wasn't really what I thought it was to begin with. There's the misconception of the lesson. Now, as I begin to study this out, and I'd never studied it out before, I've never preached on it before, what I found out was this passage of Scripture, these eight verses in the Bible, four in Mark and four in Luke, it is a very unique passage of Scripture. It's not like many of the other places in the Bible that you study out. What I mean by that, there's just a lot of things that are found here and nowhere else in the Bible. And that to me makes it stand out and really makes me pay attention. And what I'm asking myself is, what does it mean? What is the lesson the Lord is really trying to get across to us? But just for example, that certain poor widow that is only found in Mark and Luke. You will not find that reference anywhere else in the Bible, the Word of God. Now, I'm telling you, this morning, this is how I study the Bible. I find out words and phrases and cross-reference them with other places in the Bible, but you will not find that phrase, a certain poor widow, anywhere else in the Bible. We only learn about her here and nowhere else. Mark and Luke. The word mites in the Bible, it said that she cast in two mites, or casting in thither two mites is what it says in Luke chapter number 21. The word mites is only found two places in the Bible, here and in the book of Mark. You don't find it anywhere else. You find the word mite in the Bible, M-I-T-E, Luke 12:59, and it talks about paid to the very last mite, but it doesn't have anything to do with this. So that's unique to this passage of Scripture. The offerings of God. You read here about the offerings of God. You only find that phrase one other place in the Bible. And it's in the Old Testament, 2 Chronicles 31:4. The word penury here, Luke 21:4. But she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had. It's found here in Luke 21:4. And it's found in Proverbs 14:23. So as I begin to study this out, there's not a lot of cross-referencing that you can do. But what I found out as I studied that, this is just a very unique passage of Scripture. And it doesn't cross-reference with a lot of other places in the Bible. So that's normally how I study for a message. So I kept running into a dead end, you might say. Well, I've got commentaries and books. You wouldn't believe how many books I have and commentaries and things. I thought, well, I will go and read what somebody else has to say about it. That'll help me. And I've got a set of books, and we've got one back here in the church library. It's called Handfuls on Purpose. It's got five books in it, and they're about that big if you put them all on a shelf. A lot of good devotional stuff in it, and it's got a place in one of those books you can go and find everywhere that Luke 21:1-4 has a message about the widow's mite. Now, that's common. You'd think it'd be full of messages on the widow's mite. You know what? Not one message in the whole thing on the widow's mite. Not even a message, not even a cross reference. You find in the book where Luke 21 is, or Mark chapter number 12, verses 41-44, and you know what? There's no entry there. That's a big set of books. You tell me nobody had nothing to say about the widow's mite? It's not even mentioned in all of it. Well, I had Spurgeon's Evening and Morning, big old thick book. You know what, Spurgeon? I've got a book of selected sermons by Charles Haddon Spurgeon. You know what he had to say about it? Nothing. Why did I spend all them money on them books? And I got studying. You know what? The commentaries, just a word here and there, not very much at all. That amazed me that nobody had nothing else to say about the widow's mite that they did, than they did. And so I got to thinking about it and studying about it. Now, I'll tell you some things it's not. What it's not about that you might think at first that it's about. It is not a rebuke to the rich men. He wasn't throwing off on the rich men because they gave of their abundance. Thank God for somebody that's got an abundance to give. Thank God for somebody that will give of their abundance. You might think it's about rebuking the rich men for giving of their abundance and that they cast much into the treasury. But you know what? That's not what it's about. He's not rebuking them. He's just comparing her to them rich men. He said she gave more than they did. They gave their abundance. She gave all that she had. All of her living is what the Bible says. So it's not teaching about that. It's not teaching about Luke 6 and 38. You know, I like Luke 6 and 38. You're probably not very far away from it. You know what it says over there in Luke chapter 6 and verse number 38. This will be a blessing to you if you're sort of anxious about giving. That's not even what this message is about, but Luke chapter 6 and verse 38 says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom, for with the same measure that ye meet with all, it shall be measured to you again." And there's a great lesson there on giving. God will bless you if you give. That's what that's saying. You give, God will give it back to you, and God's shovel's bigger than your spoon. You cannot outgive God. That's what Luke 6 and 38 is talking about. It's talking about the blessing of giving. If you don't believe of God, that God will bless you, just try Him and see. God will bless you, but you know what? That's not what that's about. Because it doesn't say anything else about her. It doesn't say that when she left the temple that somebody met her and put 5 or 10 times more than what she gave. Doesn't say anything about that. That's not teaching that. That is not what that's teaching. But I'd thought before maybe that's what that was teaching. We're never told what happened to the certain poor widow. It is not like Mark 14 in verses 8 and 9. Over there in Mark 14 and verses 8 and 9, the Bible says Mary Bethany came and anointed Jesus before His burial. And Jesus said, Mark 14 and 8, "She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her." And so everywhere the gospel's preached in the whole wide world, you've heard about Mary of Bethany. She came and anointed the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord put that in the Word of God as for a memorial of her sacrifice that she made. That's not what this is about. Doesn't say anything about being a memorial to the certain poor widow. So it's not a rebuke to the rich. It's not a promise if you give, you will receive. It's not a promise of, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus, Philippians 4 and 19. That's not what it's about. And it's not a memorial to her. That's all the things what it's not. The misconception concerning the lesson. But second of all this morning, I want you to see there's the magnitude of her level. There's the magnitude of her level. The Bible says in Luke 21 in verse number 2, it says, "And he saw also a certain poor widow." She was poor is what the Bible says. It says in verse number 4, "For all these have of their abundance cast in unto the offerings of God, but she of her penury." You know, the Word of God is correct. It's exact. If you just learn to read the Bible and what the Bible's saying, it'll tell you what it means. What's that word penury sound like to us? Pennies. She had a pretty poor living. She lived and she had two mites. We might say she had two pennies to her name is all that she had. And if you really study that out, the way that she lived, when it talks about the certain poor widow, she had a living that was from her hand to her mouth. You know, some people lives like that. Some of you maybe have lived like that. Maybe somebody's here today. That's how you live. But honestly, most of us do not live from our hand to our mouth. Meaning when we have spent what's in our pocket, that's all that we have until we come across some way, some more money to buy some food or something like that. But that's how she lived. She was living from hand to mouth. She had two mites, the Bible says. That was a Jewish lepton is what that was called in their coinage. And we might say it says two mites. You read other places, it's compared to pennies. It was actually just an eighth of a cent is what it was. But it was the smallest coin that was available to the Jewish person. Have you ever heard somebody say, "Well, I'm going to put my 2 cents in"? That's where that saying come from. You know what your 2 cents is worth? Not much. She had two mites. You know what that was worth? Not much. Not much at all. She had two mites. It was the smallest coin that was available. And here's something that's interesting. In the temple worship, it was the smallest offering that was allowed. The smallest offering that was allowed was two mites. Now we're going to learn something from that right there. I read several places, what little bit I could find. Now, can you imagine rejecting anybody's offering? But in the worship of the temple, they had a rule that the smallest offering you could make was two mites. I guess one mite wasn't even worth messing with. Sort of like pennies are today. You go anywhere and you don't have $5 and 2 cents, they'll say, "Well, I got two right here." Everybody, businesses, they keep a cup of pennies. And they'll use them pennies to make up odd change because it's not really worth messing with. And so they had the smallest allowable offering that there was two mites. So when she went into the offering, when she went into the temple there, knowing that the smallest offering that she was allowed to make was two mites, you know what? Nobody would begrudge her for keeping one of them, would they? I mean, she's poor. She doesn't have nothing to give. Really, she doesn't have nothing to give. But she goes in there knowing that she's either going to have to give everything or she's going to give nothing. There's a lesson, if you'll remember. She's going to have to give it all or nothing. That's what the Lord's requiring out of her. She knows that when she goes in. She's got two mites. She's got two pennies that she can rub together. She can't even give one of them, but nobody'd begrudge if she kept one or if she kept both of them. But you know what? Instead of giving nothing, she decided to give it all. She decided to give it all, and she gave it all is what she gave. Luke 21, verse 4, the Bible said, "For all these have of their abundance cast in unto the offerings of God, but she of her penury," that means poverty, indigent, just about as poor as you can get, "hath cast in all the living that she had." You know, I got to thinking about that. What would she have had if she'd kept it all? Now, Mark chapter 12 and verse number 42 says that two mites make a farthing. Two mites make a farthing. And if you study in the Bible, Matthew chapter 10 verse 29 says, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your father. Two mites are a farthing about two sparrows. Two sparrows is all that she had. You know what that means, two sparrows, all that she had? She could have bought a kid's meal. That's about all that she had. She could have bought the smallest thing that they had to sell at Kentucky Fried Chicken. That's just the dark meat. Two sparrows, that's all. I mean, nothing. Nothing. I've got a chart at home in my Thompson's Chain Reference Bible. And it said several years ago that two mites would be worth $3.75. And so I've got two $2 bills. That's about all she had. Now, what could you do with $4? Now I'm talking about. How poor was this lady? If all your living, if all you had to your name was $4, what could you do with $4? Well, if you had to go anywhere and had to buy a gallon of gas, there's your $4. You might as well stay at home. You can't do anything with $4. You ladies, can you buy a gallon of milk and a loaf of bread with $4? I don't think you can. Can you buy a Happy Meal with $4? I don't know. Maybe. You might could buy a small burger at Wendy's, but you'd have to get water and hope they give it to you and not charge. You know, I'm just saying, it's nothing. It's nothing. She had what's equivalent to us to $4. And when she went into the temple, she wasn't allowed to just give half of it. Nobody begrudged her. She kept all of it, but what'd she do with what she had? She just gave all of it. She gave all of it. Boy, it'd be a good lesson for us to learn today if we'd realize what we really have and what it's really worth. Last of all, I want to show you this morning, there's the message of her living. Now, I've read and I studied and I prayed about it, asked for God to turn the light on and I might see something, be a blessing and a help to us. And I believe the Lord showed me something. Look at chapter 21 and verse number 4 one more time. Now here's the key. Here's the key to the whole message this morning. Don't miss this. If you miss it, you're going to miss the whole thing. Look what the Bible says. For all these have of their abundance cast in unto the offerings of God. But she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had. Look what it says in Mark chapter 12 and verse 44. She hath cast in all the living that she had. Mark chapter 12 and verse 44, the Bible said, for all they that did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. You ought to underline that word living in your Bible. She cast in all of her living into the offering. Listen, offerings are not measured by what we give, but by what we keep for ourselves. That's how God measures our offerings. It's not what you put in. It's what you keep for yourself. And that's how she gave more than all of those men, because she cast in all of her living. She didn't keep anything for herself. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 5 says, and this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. It does not say that she cast in all of her money, and she did. But she cast in all of her living. She cast in all of her living. I thought about that. Wouldn't that be good for me? Wouldn't that be good for us this morning? If I could get to the place in my Christian life where I came before God and said, God, what I've got's not worth much. But all the living that I have left, I'd like to give it unto you. All of the living that I have, all the rest of the days of my life, Lord, I'd like to give all my living unto you. See, it's not about money. It's not about, God doesn't need our money. God is not increased by our offerings. I mean, it's important, but to us, not to God. God's not going to starve. God's not going to go out of business. It's not always all about money, but it's about our living. It's about our living. Lord, I'd like to, with my living that I have left in my life, Lord, I'd like to present, I'd like to offer, I'd like to cast in all the living that I have. And that's what she did. And I believe that's the key to that passage of Scripture. It doesn't say she cast in all her money, but boy, isn't the Word of God good? She cast in all of her living. All of her living she gave unto the Lord. She didn't keep anything for herself. And I got thinking about that. I'm going to give you three things quickly along this line of thought. Here's what she did keep for herself. Don't think that she went away with nothing because she didn't. She went away with something. She did keep something for herself. Now I'm going to give you three things. Here's what she kept for herself when she cast all of her living into that treasury. She kept her peace. She kept her peace. The kind of peace that only comes when you all on the altar is laid. There's just a certain peace that comes along with that. And if you don't know anything about that, if you're a child of God, you ought to know, you ought to experience in your life what it means. We sing that song, is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? You ever been there? If you can ever get right there, you really know what it is to have peace in your life. She went away with the peace of God upon her heart and upon her life. Those rich men left that day worried about the stock market. Worried about getting robbed on the way home. Why, she could have walked on that road that the Good Samaritan went down where the highway was full of robbers, and she could have went home that way and she wouldn't have had to worry about getting robbed because she didn't have nothing. Nobody wanted nothing she had. She gave it all to God. She wasn't worth robbing. She wasn't worth stealing from. She didn't have to worry about none of that stuff. You know what? We've got so much stuff, we worry about it all the time. We don't even realize we're worried about it. I seen a comic this week, and I shared it with Kim. And I love to read the comics. That's the only reason I get the newspaper. But this couple, the lady was cleaning off a platter. And her husband was there in the room. She was cleaning off a platter. And she dropped it. And it broke on the ground. And her husband looked at her, and she looked at her husband. She going to be mad about it? What? And in the next frame, they give each other a high five. Well, that's odd. And in the next frame, they said, one less thing to worry about. Isn't that good? You're going to go on and break some dishes. What are you worried about? We got stuff coming out of our ears, flowing out of our houses, worried about it, robbing you of the peace of God in your life. Worried about stuff. Worried about stuff. She left with the peace of God that she'd put it all on the altar. She wasn't, worried about it no more. Peace of God's wonderful. She left with her peace. She went away singing. I found an old song. We don't sing it no more. But it says, there's a certainty of love that sets my heart at rest. A calm assurance for today that to be poor is blessed. She knew God knew about the sparrows. She knew that she could have bought two sparrows. But what was that? It wasn't nothing. God knows about the sparrows. God knows about her needs. She She kept her peace. Second of all, she kept her position. Now, there are certain promises to God in the Old Testament or of God. Several places in the Old Testament you'll see God made promises to the fatherless and to the widows. She had a position as a, you know, they didn't have Social Security. She didn't have her husband's retirement. She didn't have a 401k. She didn't have none of that stuff. None of the things that we might think about. She had none of it. But she had the promises of God. That God had said in His Word that He is going to watch after the fatherless and the widows. That was her position she kept. The Bible said the Lord preserveth, Psalms 146 verse 9, the Lord preserveth the strangers. He relieveth the fatherless and the widow. You know, I believe she'd have known enough about the Word of God to know this. God took care of Ruth, and I believe God will take care of me. That's her position as a widow, that God had promised in His Word that He would take care of her. The best place you'll ever get in your life will be to the place where you get to see and that you just can't. You can't. They talk about where are you going to make enough money for retirement. Nope, not the way it's going. You know what? This will depress you to death. But if you had two mites today, you'd have more than she. She could buy more with two mites than you can with what you've got today. The way things going, if you've got your hope in making money and having enough and obtaining enough and doing this and doing that, I'm not saying not to try it. That's not what I'm saying, but I'm saying that you ought to have your hope in God and God alone. Because He's the only one that's going to be here today, here tomorrow, here the day after that. The Bible says riches can make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle towards heaven is what the Bible says. Boy, it'll take a lot of pressure off of you if you'll just come to the place in your life to say, God, I just can't. You're going to have to help me. You're going to have to bless me. God, I'm coming not as a smart person, not as a person that has ability in this and that, but God, I'm coming as a child. Lord, if You bless me, I'll thank You. I'll try to be wise with what You give me. Try to be a good steward. But I'm telling you, it can be here today, gone tomorrow. Then what are you going to do? Best place I ever got in my business was when I just come to the place that I went home and I told Kim, I said, you know what? Today's a good day. Because I've done everything I can and I can't do anything else. And God's just going to have to do something for us. And the Lord did. And the Lord blessed. And God is good. She went away. She had her position as a widow, knowing God was obligated in His Word to take care of the widows, to relieve them. And third of all, she had her power. She had her power. It said in verse 4, but all these have of their abundance cast in unto the offerings of God, but she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had. Do you get out what you put in? You sure do. Paul said in Galatians 2 and 20, and it's hard for some people to understand, but he said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. He said, I am crucified with Christ. Crucified is dead. Nevertheless, I live. See, Paul knew the key to the thing. He knew if he put his whole life in that he would save his life. And that's what he did. I'm crucified with Christ. I'm dead with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. She kept her power. Look at Luke 17. I'm going to close in just a moment, but turn back just a couple of pages. I'll show you what I'm talking about. Luke 17 and verse 33, the Bible said this, whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it. And whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. Boy, isn't that odd? Doesn't that just go against the way we think about things? But the Lord said, whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it. And whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. Say, preacher, what's that mean? Look at verse 32. Boy, he sheds a lot of light on it. Remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. How many remember Lot's wife? Remember what happened to Lot's wife in Genesis chapter number 19? How that the angels of the Lord had come down there and warned Lot and his family to get out of Sodom because God was going to destroy the whole place. And the angels had to take him out to the city limits and say, get out of here. And what did he tell them? He said, don't look back. And they ran to the next city. But you know what the Bible says about Lot's life? Lot's wife, she looked back. And when she looked back, the Lord turned her into a pillar of salt, the Bible says. God said, get out of here. This whole world, everything you know, it's all going to burn up. Get out of here. Get down the road. Don't look back. She loved that old life so much, she just had to take one more gander. She turned around and looked back, seeking to save what she used to have. She lost her life. You know what the Lord's telling us today? This old world's going to burn up. Things of this world's going to pass away. One of these days when you pass away and go into glory land, if you're saved by the grace of God, you're going to find out that that a lot of things we went after in this life wasn't worth nothing. If you seek, the Bible says, whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it. And whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. Paul knew what that was about. The certain poor widow, she knew what that was, what that meant, what that was all about. I got to thinking about it in my own personal life. I thought about it like this. All that I've ever kept, I've wasted. Of all my living, of all my life, everything that I've kept just for me, I've wasted it. I really wish to God today that I could have back 95% of the time that I've spent trying to hit a little white ball around a cow pasture, golfing. You know, I mean, I'm just going to be honest with you this morning. I know how it is. Well, preacher, you done start meddling now. I'm talking about me. All the time wasted. Just saying, well, God doesn't begrudge us some downtime, and he doesn't. God doesn't mind if we have some hobbies or things, and he doesn't. But listen, if you become consumed with it, it is yours, it's not God's. And when you look back on it one day, you're going to look back and say, all that I've wasted. Wish I'd have spent... I kept 5%. I went one time golfing last year. And you know what? That satisfied the dickens out of me. Whatever that is. That's the best I'd played in years. I told Brother John, I said, I'm going to go once a year till the Lord comes. If I could play that good and play once a year, I'm satisfied. I don't even care if I go. You see what I'm saying? All that I've kept for myself, I look back, I've wasted. But all that I've given to God, I've gained. It's done, went on, been put in the bank in heaven, gaining interest right now. Praise God, it wasn't wasted time. I'll close by saying this morning. What are you keeping for you? What is it you're keeping for you? Would it be better, whatever that is, just to give that on over to the Lord? And come down to this day, this serious day and time we're living in, and say, Lord, I'd like to give all my living. I'd like to put all my living in. That's been my prayer this week. Lord, I want to put my living, all of it, in to be used for your honor and your glory. I'm sure when we meet the certain poor widow in heaven, you probably aren't going to recognize her. Somebody might have to tell you who that is. I'm sure God didn't leave her destitute. I'd like for us to have our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning.